Well, if you were planning on going to the Great Cup this weekend, the game is sold out. I was just looking at Ticketmaster again here to see if there are any blue dots that have opened up. Not yet, but, you know, quite often as the game gets closer and closer, the league lets go some tickets, some of the holdbacks for family and friends and the league itself, and then they turn around and sell them, so you can keep checking back on Ticketmaster, but no, nothing yet this morning. Game day weather in Winnipeg, calling for sunshine, a +3. Kickoff at 5, and the overnight low forecasted in Winnipeg to be -8. So somewhere around that fourth quarter, might be sitting around -5, -6. But no snow in the forecast. Weather's great here. Sounds like it's great in Winnipeg, too. Let's go there now live with CJMB Rider reporter Britton Gray. Good morning, Britton.
Good morning.
Is there any snow on the ground in Winnipeg, or are they just like Regina right now? It's pretty brown.
There's a little bit of snow, not too much. So it looks like it's going to be a great day for football, Greg.
Well, that's a keen observation right off the start as you just got out of the sack, Britton. Thank you for that. Hey, take me to the first practice for the Riders yesterday, and you were there. What was it like?
Business as usual for this team. We said that this team, it doesn't feel like this moment's too big for them, and it was business as usual. Keyshawn Johnson, a lot of eyes are going to be on him and if his availability. Now, he was out there for the early portion, did appear on the injury report as it did not participate. That's just technicality. So if it was a regular, he didn't participate throughout the full practice. So DNP. It'll be very interesting because he did get some limited practices in last week. Very interested in how he does day two and kind of how his status maybe changes or if indeed he isn't able to go this week.
So, well, what did you see him do yesterday, Britton? Like, is he just kind of just mulling about or is he actually participating in a drill or two?
He was participating in the team drill before they did the stretch and everything. So kind of before they really started to get into everything, he missed a lot of the practice. So that's why it'll be very interesting what his status is today and how much he does today. I think day two here is going to be a real key towards his availability, if he'll be able to go or not.
Well, Britton, the club is looking to end a championship drought that has been over a decade. And you spoke to a few of the players about that. The return really to Winnipeg feels like a long time coming for some of the guys you've spoken to, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Micah Johnson, 7 years. Jameer Thurman, also 7 years. There's a few guys on this team who've been waiting to get back to the Grey Cup after getting there quite early in their careers. And, of course, guys for their first time. This week, I'm excited for guys like Jorgan Hughes, right? A guy who's been around the organization, who's been around for a while. First time reaching the Grey Cup. I can imagine how special this is going to be for him. And a lot of excitement for this team. Like I said, business as usual. These guys aren't making it too big, even though there's a little bit more bright lights out here this week on them.
Well, let's flip over to the Montreal scene there. I know Davis Alexander, the expected quarterback, right? He practiced yesterday. He's got that hamstring injury, but I heard that he didn't look hampered by it yesterday. What did you see or hear?
Yeah, I heard the same thing. It didn't appear like it was affecting him, though. Once again, day one, a lot of people didn't know that on day one, not a lot of movement required of the quarterbacks. Wasn't running around too much. Another guy, day two here, how does he progress? What does he look like today as we get closer and closer to the game? So lots of intrigue around this game, right, Greg? Some questions need to be answered.
Yeah, well, here we go. Today, it's going to heat up a little more. A lot more fans arriving, and the festivities are going to crank up. CFL Awards tonight. I better know what you're watching for.
Yeah, we'll see Jamarcus Hardrick, of course, most outstanding offensive lineman. We'll see if he wins that award. Logan Ferland is, of course, nominated for the Jake Goddard Award. And something of note, they're actually not awarding the Coach of the Year. They're going to do that at the Combine, this next Combine coming up. So we will have to wait and see if Corey Mace wins that one, I guess.
What? That's weird, isn't it?
That is a change they are making this year, so for whatever reason, the CFL has elected to do that. So
okay.
We'll see how that looks.
Well, Britton Gray, I know as a Rider reporter, you're efficient, you're on top of it all, but we got to know, how did you enjoy your evening last night, Britton? What did you do?
Just got a chance to hang out with the media, kind of just talk to people. That's really one of the cool things about this event. You got media from all across the country coming together, converging, getting a chance to talk to each other, and of course, share some stories from the whole season of the journey that it's been to get here.
Well, that sounds pretty boring. I think you're just worried the Murray Wood is listening, and you don't want to let him know what you're really doing. CJME writer reporter Britton Gray. Thank you, buddy.
Not a problem.
CJME News Time now is 6:49. Greg Morgan here with Kevin Martell now from the 980 CJME Newsroom. Where are you watching the Grey Cup this weekend? You got any party plans, or are you just snuggled on the couch?
I will be right here, Greg.
Yes, you are. That's right. I forgot.
I'm going to be watching it at work. Yeah. That's right.
Our extended coverage, even dragging Kevin Martell in. This is quite a giant bill of stars and celebrities rolled out for Grey Cup coverage.
The whole team. I mean, it's 12 years. It's been 12 years since we've been in the Cup.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we'll have full team coverage, not just in Saskatchewan, not just in Regina, throughout Saskatchewan, and in Winnipeg, of course, as we've been hearing in sports the last few days.
Okay, you're going to be watching in the newsroom. You had some people up north. They're about 4 hours north of us. Canwood, they're going to gather around the side of a grain elevator?
The grain elevator game. Yeah, so they did it. Remember, we brought you this story, game 6 and 7 of the World Series. They had actually shown those two games on the side of the grain elevator. But yes, that is pretty Canadian. But this is ultimately the most Saskatchewan thing to do, is to show the Grey Cup with the riders in it.
I guess the gentleman doing it runs the drive-in nearby too,
he does,
right? So he's got a good projector.
And attack a coop. And so he has all the, I guess, materials, the equipment that you need to do that.
Yeah.
And so he's doing it again. People
want it. Well, you know, remember Halloween, the Jays game was on, and there were people projecting it on the outside of their homes as trick-or-treaters were going by. And, you know, is that something that could be done here? Not trick-or-treating again, but could someone project this outdoors, and would they go? Or would the stadium, what do you think, Mosaic Stadium, if they played the game? Do you think we could put people and pack the stadium if they did that?
Possibly. I'm sure some people would. I mean, if they're brave enough to brave the elements for the West Final, I'm sure they would do the same thing for the Grey Cup.
Okay. Lots of stories from the crime files here this morning. First, let's go to the Misha Pavlik trial. The judge finally got the instructions out, and they went to deliberations, correct?
Yeah, they did. So they started kind of late yesterday afternoon. I think it was about 5 o'clock or so. The case was in the hands of the jury. They wrapped it up after several hours and broke for the night. They are back at it at 9 this morning. And so for now, we wait. And as our senior reporter, Lisa Schick, has been outlining this morning in our newscast, and she's been at the trial every single day. Yes, the charge against the man accused of killing Misha Pavlik is facing second-degree murder, but jurors could also opt to convict him of manslaughter. That is a possibility in this case. And so for now, we wait.
And now we're hearing that there are upgraded charges for the man charged in the shooting death of Tanya Myers near Weber.
Yeah, it was originally manslaughter with a gun for Chris Fahlman, now upgraded to second-degree murder. We don't know exactly what has changed from the initial arrest and the initial charges to now, these upgraded charges, but his matter's back in court today as well.
Okay, and there are many who yesterday were wondering what the heck is going on holding up traffic there, and we got some clarity this morning from Regina Police on the 1300 block of Broadway Avenue.
Yeah, so this was a scary scene there. A school bus crashes into a city bus and another vehicle, and then the school bus goes into a parking lot, and a 15-year-old girl is hit, pedestrian. In that area, we know there are some high schools nearby in that same area. She was taken to hospital in, I guess, what's described as stable but critical condition this morning.
Okay, Kevin Martell coming up with plenty more details in just a few moments. It's 6:57. Mayor Chavashinsky coming in after the 7:30 news this morning. We'll check in with all the council matters and see if the mayor is off to the Grey Cup this weekend, as we are with full team coverage for the Grey Cup. Jamie and Locker have taken the Green Zone on the road to Winnipeg. You heard already this morning from CJME writer reporter Britton Gray. He is there. Not only can you listen every day from 2 till 6, the guys are hosting a special Green Zone Grey Cup preview Saturday starting at 2. And we've got the Green Zone pregame show running from 3 to 5 Sunday afternoon. Jamie, Belton, Daryl, along with Britton, they're all going to be on the air. We've got your back when it comes to the Grey Cup. And kickoff, of course, scheduled for 5 on Sunday. Now, today, the Grey Cup Festival, I think, kicks into gear in Winnipeg. More and more fans will begin to arrive. And the Green Zone's locker has been set loose in the peg and joins me now for a glimpse at what the atmosphere is like. Good morning, Locker.
Good morning, Greg. How you doing?
Well, I'm...
Before we get into this, we had a rough idea when we were driving into Winnipeg on Tuesday, and we got the answer. Mayor Chad is not here, but we were going to see if we could get Mayor Chad and Luke Wilson together.
Well,
for a beer.
You know what? I'm going to discuss 11th Avenue with the mayor when it gets here, which Luke was a little annoyed at. So we'll see. Maybe I can push him your way. But how does the city look right now? There's hardly any snow on the ground. It's been mild like it is here in Regina. Oh, is that right?
My goodness. It is unbelievable weather. And I think they must be just absolutely thrilled. I lived here for 6 years. It was a long time ago. I don't remember a November like this. This is crazy.
Yeah, if you're a Grey Cup fan.
Walking around in shorts and T-shirts. It's unbelievable. And yeah, it's supposed to be like this right through till the weekend, too. So if you are planning on coming to Grey Cup to see the game, Greg, you're going to get unbelievable weather, just fantastic weather. I think we looked it up, and it was staying at about a high of -2 and a low of -5.
Yeah, well, now they're saying +3 this morning here. They're saying +3 on Sunday.
Wow.
But hey, can you tell there's a Grey Cup in the city right now as you walk about? Have they gone all out?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday I was out doing my locker on the loose, and Winnipeg knows that there's a Grey Cup. And there was mixed reaction to whether or not they can cheer for Saskatchewan. I don't know if you saw it, but it's out on the Green Zone socials. I was trying to find out who Winnipeg is cheering for. It's kind of split between Montreal Alouettes and the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
And yeah, you proved my theory. Locker, you proved my theory with your piece, too, because I said, hey, many people, Manitobans, would have bought their tickets for the Grey Cup hoping Winnipeg's there. So there's going to be a lot of people from Manitoba. You roamed the streets and discovered a few people reluctantly cheering for the green and white.
It hurts me to do that, but I'm going to have to.
All right,
stick with the West.
And I heard you talk to one girl who said, my parents have tickets. They're not giving them up to Rider fans. They're going to cheer against them. Is that right?
Yes. I believe her name was Dana, and she was like, they were very, very concerned that someone from Saskatchewan, good Lord, would come into our province and watch this game. So they were going to go and make sure that they cheered for Montreal. Very funny.
So what's the plan for today, and how does the party slowly start to build? What are the attractions for fans?
Well, we got here early because there's lots of things for media, and the team got here on Monday. So we were here broadcasting live as of Tuesday. Today it ramps up. The parties are starting to happen. You got Ryderville happening. That's a whole other story. We won't get into that, but a lot of people are trying to scramble to get tickets for that. I'm hoping that the Grey Cup Festival Committee sorts that out, because there's going to be a lot of people in town that are going to be looking for that party. We'll keep an eye on that on the Green Zone today as well. But we've been broadcasting live from our hotel room the last couple of days. Today, though, we get to set up at Fan Fest and broadcast downtown, which is where a lot of the festival activities are going to be. So you're starting to see a lot more jerseys on the streets and things like that, Greg. So people are starting to make their way into the city, and it's just going to get sort of more and more ramped up as we close in on Sunday.
All right. Well, we're going to turn you loose again this afternoon there and look forward to what you bring us later in the day. And Locker, appreciate all the coverage. Thanks for everything.
Yes. Today I'm trying to find out how much Manitoba knows about their neighbors to the west.
That will be interesting. All right. Thanks, buddy. Oh, yeah, guess who? Are we running back to Saskatoon to see the guess who?
I want to.
Legendary Randy Bachman and Burton Cummings reuniting at Sastel Center in Saskatoon on June 6th. And tickets go on sale this Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be a good show.
I know. We'll have to.
I've seen Burton so many. I've probably seen him about 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, me too.
Can't get
I never get tired of him.
Nope.
Okay. Well, we'll consider that. Might surprise the dates. Buy some tickets.
Fill the social calendar.
All right. Look, we got lots to cover here this morning, but where I really need your help as a former police chief, go ahead, put your police chief hat on here, is explain to me these upgraded charges for the man, Chris Fahlman, charged in the shooting death of Tanya Myers near Weyburn. He's now been charged with second-degree murder after previously facing a charge of manslaughter with a gun. So what is all of this telling you now?
Well, it's really interesting that they have upgraded the charges. So they basically, you know, his previous charges, manslaughter, careless use of a firearm, carrying a weapon for the purpose of committing an offense, and occupying a motor vehicle, knowing there was a firearm inside, those charges were stayed yesterday, and new charges were brought forward. One of them, of course, as you've said, second-degree murder. The biggest difference, I mean, is intent. Manslaughter is essentially a murder that's committed without intent. So you killed the person you didn't intend to. Second degree murder is a murder that's committed with intent, basically a deliberate killing. The elements that they will try and prove, or they will have to prove in this, is number one, the death was caused by an unlawful act.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the accused had the intent to cause the death or serious bodily injury that would likely result in death. And number two, the killing was not premeditated. It was spontaneous. Those are the elements of the offense. So this brings a whole different light to this. If we're talking about intent behind, he squeezed that trigger with an intention of either killing or knowing that the likely outcome was that the person would die. It's interesting, and it's wonder, is this new information that's come to light since the charges have been laid, or were those charges laid initially to get that, you know, they have a certain amount of time after a person is arrested to lay a charge, get them before the courts, and sometimes charges will be amended after the fact.
Oh, they will.
That could be the case here, too. So,
all right. So yesterday, the judge also got instructions out to the jury in the Misha Pavlik trial.
Right.
They started their deliberations shortly before 5 o'clock. Do you expect this to be a quick deliberation?
I don't know that it is going to be quick, because keep in mind, number one, the accused did not admit to killing Misha Pavlik. And number two, there were no witnesses that could say they saw the accused do it. So we're talking about testimony of people's memories and recollection of facts that in all cases are 19 years old. So this is going to be an interesting one. And of course, you know, the threshold is high. That proof beyond a reasonable doubt, we talked about that yesterday, that's a high threshold. So whether or not this results in a conviction is yet to be determined. I don't know that it's going to be a quick turnaround.
7:26 with Evan Bray. All right, before we get to what else is on your show here today, try to lighten things up a little bit here. In our news today, we're hearing of a guy up north. He's shooting the game on the outside of a grain elevator to watch on Sunday.
I love that. Although Kenwood is a long drive for
us. 4 hours.
It's west of PA, but I think that is cool. But it is cool, Greg, and I'm sure you've talked with people. Like, people are planning watch parties. This is reminiscent of 2013. If you didn't go to the game in 2013, you were probably somewhere notable watching it.
Do you think we have enough people in this community that would get behind? Like, you know, you see it during the World Series, you know, the games in LA, and they're packing the park back at Rogers Center in Toronto. Are you surprised that Mosaic Stadium hasn't got a plan to show it on the big screens?
Maybe, although I feel like an outdoor event is maybe a little different.
It's going to be 5 degrees.
I know. But I don't know. I mean, there's no doubt you'd get people there. You would get people there if you opened it up and showed the game on the big screen. No question about it.
Don't get me wrong. It's just a thought. We do not know that
planting
is happening.
The seed. Don't you have the mayor coming up?
Well, maybe I'll ask. That's a good point. I'll ask Mayor Chad after 7:30 here. Okay, what's on your show?
Well, we've got a busy show today. Lots of different things going on. This isn't a guest that I have on my show, but we do have open lines. Anita Anand, who is the Minister of Foreign Affairs, met with the U.S. Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, didn't bring up trade negotiations.
Not her portfolio, she said.
I don't care, Greg. Like, come on, Greg. If you're a representative of this country and you're meeting with someone from the U.S., like, I'm not asking you to etch a deal out, but let's have a conversation.
Right.
How about those trade negotiations?
At the very least.
Let's just bring it up. Anyway, it is It is absolutely bewildering to me.
And even for her to just say, you know what, that's not my line.
It's stupid.
I'd love to have said something, but they're so careful of how they word everything.
I know. And
but not my portfolio.
You're on to something right there, Greg. Let's just be a human being. Let's just talk to the medians.
That's right.
I'm frustrated by that. We'll talk about that.
Well, as a human being, I got to tell you right out of time. So stop talking. It's 728. Evan Bray's back at 8:30.